Hello, everybody, and welcome to today's episode of Fit Chicks Chat. It's Laura Jackson, your host here, and today I'm flying solo without Amanda because we actually have a very special guest interview on that I know you guys are really going to love and learn a lot from. So on today's podcast, we have Marnie Wasserman joining us, who is the co-host of the incredible podcast, The Ultimate Health Podcast. She also is an amazing nutritionist as well as a chef, and also the author of the books Fermenting for Dummies as well as Plant-Based Diet for Dummies. So Marnie is joining us today to really talk about how to ditch the titles, ditching the labels that we put on ourselves of these ways of eating, and really learn how to eat for your best health. She's going to be sharing a lot of personal stories, a lot of insight throughout the years of working in this industry, and a ton of tips for you guys to take home to really transition into a healthier way of eating. So with that, I'm going to end this intro and let's jump right into it. Welcome, Marnie.
Welcome to the Fit Chicks Chat Podcast, where we talk all things fitness, nutrition, and wellness for women. To help you live your healthiest and fiercest life, inside and out. And now, your hosts, Laura Jackson and Amanda Quinn.
Okay, hello everybody. So it's Laura Jackson here, and I know you just got to hear an amazing introduction to our guest today, and I'm really, really pumped because she is one of my healthy girl crushes, which sounds kind of creepy actually. Marnie Wasserman. Hi, Marnie.
Hi, thanks for having me.
I'm so excited you're here.
I'm excited to be here.
So I know in my intro, I didn't really tell the story to you of how I kind of have met you, but I've actually taken Marnie's cooking classes when she used to have her food studio in Toronto. And I think I did three of them with you.
You did. Yeah, you were part of the threesome. Some people only got two, so you got lucky.
Oh my gosh, they were awesome. And the one thing I still do and I still have in my kitchen that you actually gave to me and inspired my love of is fermenting. And I have my water kefir that you gave me, my water kefir babies.
I'm so happy to keep them alive.
Yes. And they're sleeping right now because I was traveling. So luckily I could put them to bed. So that's going into the fridge. But yeah, you completely inspired my love of fermentation, and it's just kind of spiraled from there. So thank you for that.
You're very welcome.
So really, I just want to kind of get started in terms of talking about like just sharing your story. So I don't know if you just want to give us a little bit of kind of your background, how you got into nutrition. I know for us, a lot of our listeners, they just love nutrition so much and they don't really know how to start. So hearing from somebody else how they got on that journey is awesome.
Yeah, and I'm happy to share. So it kind of goes back to university when I was in kinesiology and health sciences. So my background was very much involved in the body and health and fitness, and that's where the passion began. And after, towards the end of that program, I started to really, you know, grab onto nutrition, even though nutrition was just so lightly brushed across in kinesiology. There was something, yeah, it's just, yeah. And as we can imagine, well, that leads to my next transition as I went to dietetic school. So just, you know, kind of the wrong approach to nutrition and at that time it was from my gut instinct. Like I just knew it didn't feel right. Even though I wanted to go into sport nutrition, that's kind of what felt right to me at the time. I knew that the classic way, the conventional way wasn't right. So I kept leaning towards holistic health, natural health. I was reading all these books on whole foods, and I was very lucky at the same time to have come across someone who told me about the Institute of Holistic Nutrition. So I was so happy, although I thought I needed to become a dietitian first before I got into holistic nutrition. I thought, okay, that's maybe an add-on for later on. So I did my year at Ryerson in dietetics, and that's all I did. Once I found out about IHN and went and, you know, saw the school and saw what it was all about, that was it. So made that transition very quickly, did holistic nutrition, loved every second of it. I knew it was the right thing. It was like going to, you know, a seminar twice a week on something that you love. And so it wasn't even so good. It was just like, this is great. I can personal train. I can go to classes a couple times a week, and this is all amazing. And it's starting to fall into what naturally I believed in. So it was just like, it was too good to be true.
So just for people who are listening, when they hear holistic nutrition, what does that mean as opposed to just going into regular nutrition, like, you know, becoming a registered dietitian? What's the difference there?
And I'm glad you brought that up. So becoming a dietitian typically has an approach that's a bit more mainstream. It's very much focused on treatment. Generally, a lot of people go to work in a hospital, not always, but it definitely is more focused on, you know, long-term illness and disease and really working with nutrition from a very quantitative approach. Mm-hmm. And I was learning that as I was going through dietetics. It was like, this is not where I want to go. Although there is a place for it for a lot of people, and people go on to become wonderful dietitians. But it was not right for me. So I wanted to take the qualitative preventative approach, and that's what holistic nutrition. So that really looks at the whole person, the whole picture, not just themselves, but their environment, their emotional, support system, their physical life, all those different areas that sometimes get overlooked, especially when you're just looking at the quantitative approach. So that completely resonated with me and where I was at the time with my health journey, and it just made sense. So I jumped on the wagon, went to IHN, and then from there, I found out about culinary school. So, you know, my journey continued into the kitchen, and it just kind of sparked this huge interest for getting more immersed with food. And I went to culinary school at the Natural Gourmet and did that for about 6 months. It was a very intensive program. And then the passion for cooking classes is what came out of that. And thus began my cooking class business, which was, you know, the first part of my career, which lasted up until just very recently. And now I've transitioned into the podcast world. So it's just been an awesome journey. And it's been so amazing just to be able to share that passion for so many years and do everything that my heart desired.
Well, and that's why I'm happy you brought up your podcast too, because I've been following your journey from pretty much day one, because when I got interested in holistic nutrition, there weren't many faces out there that were, you know what I mean? Unless you were going to a school or around instructors or taking face-to-face courses that really were kind of having this approach to living, to health, to eating. So I actually went to a seminar with you, and I loved you were talking about plant-based proteins, because my passion too and my background's in fitness as well. So I totally relate to you with that fitness kind of transitioning into the nutrition side, and then not feeling like the mainstream way was really speaking to you. So the plant-based protein talk that you did, it just totally opened my eyes to so many different options that I hadn't even really thought about. And then I started following your journey in the cooking and taking some of your cooking classes and things like that. And then my latest obsession is your podcast. So I'd love for you to tell us a little bit more about that.
Sure. Yeah. So the Ultimate Health Podcast started about over 2 years ago. So as I was doing my thing, teaching my cooking classes, I hooked up with my partner, boyfriend, Jesse Chappas, and he was a chiropractor and very much passionate about podcasts, the podcast world. So he was convincing me for a good year or so that we needed to start a podcast. And I really didn't know much about podcasting or what it was all about or the impact or what it would involve with my time. So finally, we gave it a go. And it just kind of started on the side as a passion project. And we started doing guest interviews, and we were doing our own shows as well. And now it's been 2.5 years, and it's just grown into this business that we've now pretty much transitioned both of us into it for the most part full time. Of course, I'm doing some other things online and a couple of live events here and there, but the podcast is our baby. So we are bringing the health message, and it's called the Ultimate Health Podcast because we're trying to really encompass so many different things, from nutrition to fitness to yoga, meditation to just mental health and wellness, like everything that one is looking for to make better decisions in their life and in their health.
Oh, and that's why I love, first of all, how you didn't want to do it at first, and how he convinced you to do it. That's so awesome.
I just didn't know I knew about podcasting, but I did not think it was going to be worth the time or what we were going to get from it.
No,
was I wrong?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you've had over like 1 million downloads, which is so amazing.
Yeah, we're very happy with how the show's gone, grown and gone. Yeah.
Well, and also you have the guests that you have on. I mean, you've had like Deepak Chopra on, you've had Dr. Mark Hyman, like people who I have been studying too for years. And I'm just like so jealous that you got to speak to them. But I think it's so awesome because the one thing I love about podcasts, and I know for me, I mean, I live in downtown Toronto, well, in between downtown Toronto and a cabin in the woods. But I have a lot more access to, you know, great content. But if you're living somewhere where, you know, you're in a very small town, you don't have like-minded people around you, like podcasts are so incredible to help change your life because you can listen to them from anywhere.
Oh, and you can get so much information from them. So for people who are really trying to understand maybe a certain area of their health, mm-hmm. and depending on the guest or just the way the information is brought forward, it's amazing what you can learn. And we really encourage our listeners to, you know, try everything on that makes sense to them because we're bringing so many different perspectives forward, some conflicting, you know, for every guest that we have. Just like you remember going to IHN, every teacher had a different thing to say.
Totally. So
you have to sift through it all and come out with your own conclusion. But at least the information is being brought forward. So if someone, you know, hears a guest and it kind of piques a certain interest, they're like, oh, you know what, that kind of makes sense, or I want to go and get their book. Then they can go off and do their own research and take that a little bit further. So we just love that we're this platform to bring this awesome information forward.
Well, and that's where, I mean, I definitely want to transition into your personal story because I think it's a really cool thing. I think a lot of people are kind of experiencing this kind of questioning what kind of diet is good for them. And by saying diet, I don't mean losing weight. I mean, you know, a way of eating. So anyone listening, definitely check out theultimatehealthpodcast.com. But I want to get into your story. So, and I didn't know this up until I did your last cooking class, but you have been a vegan or a vegetarian for a lot of years. And yes. I know you wrote the book Plant-Based Eating for Dummies.
Plant-based diet for dummies, yep.
And fermentation for dummies.
Yep.
Which I love that book because I'm a fermenting junkie right now. but you have recently transitioned out of that into more of a paleo approach. So I'd love for you to kind of share that.
Yeah. Well, labels aside, yeah. Like, yeah. You know, just changing, if you will, diet for what your body actually needs and requires to thrive, that's what I kind of came to. So having been immersed in eating the plant-based way for many years, and that was the core of my business and the core of my focus. So becoming a vegetarian, I was vegan for a very short period of time. So vegetarian was mostly where I was at because I did bring in a little bit of goat and sheep dairy. So it was very moderate amounts of animal dairy in there. But it felt right for me at the time. I was making the choice based on ethics and health, and it just resonated with me so much that this is where I want to take things. And I thrived for a certain period of time, and lo and behold, years later, and after doing some blood work and finding out some information on my own health and hearing so many guests on the podcast that had a similar story, I started to connect the dots and, you know, start to look the other way. I'm like, this is really hard. You know, ethically, like I thought I was going to be a vegetarian for life. I was, mm-hmm. I was convinced. And also being kind of in that community that I've been pegged into for many years, a lot of people, again, know me as, you know, the plant-based girl and the veggie girl. So I was like, oh no, I can't let my people down. And there's so much going on here. And this is what the core of my cooking classes is. So there was a lot of, you know, mental, you know, angst in that as well. But at the end of the day, it comes down to me, my body, my health, and it took time. So the transition to become a vegetarian was very slow, and the transition out of it was also very slow. So I started with eggs, and then I was like, okay, this works. Like 2 years later, I was like, okay, I'm ready for fish. So it was a very slow transition, and it kind of picked up speed over the last year, 6 months to a year, where again, my knowledge just totally grew and my perspective finally shifted, where I was able to look at food so differently, where once beans and grains and soy was the focus of my diet, they are no longer part of my diet right now. So I found a whole new approach that's based on greens and a little bit of lean animal protein and root vegetables and a little bit of fruit and nuts and seeds. So there's a lot of commonalities. Like I don't feel like it was so different because I was always a clean eater, but it's just taking out certain staples and swapping them up. And now what I'm finding my sustenance from, being fat and animal protein, I feel so much better. So it really did come down to some health information that I was getting that was pointing me in that direction. And then also just believing in myself that this was the right thing. So a lot of things kind of played into that. And yeah, it's been a complete shift. So following more of a paleo-ish autoimmune protocol, more or less these days, I've kind of been testing the waters of some autoimmune issues. So I've been really kind of digging into that. But at the end of the day, yeah, it's more or less a paleo diet.
So did you find though, when you kind of started making this transition, I mean, personally, did you feel like it was really hard for you to make that decision, even though you knew health-wise it was for the best? And part two of that question, also, did you feel like there was any backlash? Because I know that there have been people who have been very, you know, prominent in the veggie world who have done a similar thing and come out and said, you know, hey, I've been a vegan, but for health reasons, I'm not thriving and I've needed to shift my dietary approach. And they've gotten a lot of backlash. I'd love to hear kind of what happened to you and your perspective on that.
Sure. So just to answer your first part, yeah, it was hard. You know, I really was like, I don't know how I'm going to actually eat a piece of fish or a piece of chicken again. I really don't know if I can do that. It's been 7 or 8 years and meat had been since I was 13. So I did not think that that was ever going to enter my mouth again. So there was definitely a mind game there. And it was like, once you let that go and start to look at food for nutrients, and that's where the knowledge came in. Once I started really understanding what I would be getting from this and what my body wasn't getting for so many years and what's happening to my gut and how these foods can actually make a change. And, you know, when you're not feeling great, you want to do whatever you can to make yourself feel better. It's as simple as that.
For sure.
That's the only reason people should make choices on their food. If you are eating a vegan diet and you feel amazing, awesome. You've got no reason to change. But if you're not feeling great, then there's a reason to change. So it took me a while to really wrap my head around it. Again, I had my naturopath, I had my family, I had people just kind of lightly suggesting that maybe I want to look at changing things up. I was like, nah, my diet's perfect. Like,
yeah.
I'm like the healthiest vegetarian. I'm not missing any nutrients. Like, I did not think I had to go that route, but I did. And I'm still working through it. I can't say I'm like, you know, fully on the other side. I'm still in the midst of my journey, really putting the pieces together. But when the lab results are showing that my blood work is better and things are moving in the right direction, even if I don't feel, you know, the way that I totally want to feel yet, at least on a biological level, it's proving itself true. So with that knowledge, it gives me the confidence knowing that I'm doing the right thing. So therefore I slowly started to come out in my community kind of in small ways. I never like lied at my cooking classes when people said, you know, you're vegetarian, right? I'm like, no, not anymore. You know, so I was very honest on a one-to-one basis. And then publicly announcing it, whether it was in a talk or on a podcast or in a blog post, took some time. And surprisingly, there was more people kind of coming out of the closet, kind of saying, oh my gosh, I've been thinking about doing the same thing. And now you've given me the inspiration to do this. There was the odd person who was maybe disappointed, not so much backlash, but just, you convinced me to become a vegetarian.
Yeah.
I've been following your work for so many years and it took me so long to make that decision. And now what are you doing? I'm confused. So, you know, that's interesting to manage that and hear that. But at the same time, for the most part, I had more people kind of writing me private messages, whether on Facebook or through email, saying, wow, you know, first of all, thank you for having the courage to come out about this. And secondly, you know, I think you're really going to help me on my journey because I don't feel good as a vegan anymore, or this is what I'm thinking. So it was really positive overall. Of course, the odd person, you know, on Instagram, if I post something with like eggs in it, they'll be like, aren't you a vegan? So if that's all I got, then fine. Maybe I can count on two hands, you know, the amount of comments there were, but luckily not as much as I had anticipated.
And that's the one thing I've always like loved about your approach too, though, is you've never been trying to convince people that they have to like become a label, like eat, become a vegan, become a vegetarian. You've always just promoted eating plant-based foods. You know what I mean? Like I've never felt from you that kind of, you've always been about empowering and sharing knowledge as opposed to like, this is what you should be doing. And I think that we see that more and more now, especially with so many people coming out with different health issues and autoimmune issues and intolerances, that, you know, there is no one size fits all way to eat for anybody. And I think, you know, by you sharing this, it kind of gives people permission in a way who might be thinking, okay, I'm eating this way because I think I should, and it's not really working for me. So maybe I do need to make a change. So, you know what I mean? I'm really happy that you're talking about this today. Cause I think a lot of people are kind of, like you said, in the closet about this.
Right. It's true. And even for years, even when I was vegetarian and teaching my classes, I never poo-pooed anyone who was eating meat. I always said, if you are going to eat meat, this is what you should choose. And again, let me also just make this statement too, is that the animal protein that I am including, there is no compromise. It has to be 100% organic, grass-fed, sustainable, wild, all that good stuff.
Yeah.
So I just need to put that out there. If it came down to being vegetarian or eating conventional meat, I'd be vegetarian. So it has to be good quality. But I always gave people the option of, you know, of making the right choices. So I appreciate you acknowledging that, because I've always been very inclusive. I always made sure that my website or my approach always was kind of like, you know, the friendly girl next door who's telling you how to eat better. Yes, my classes were vegan, and yes, my approach and my knowledge that was coming through my social channels and everything is, you know, was definitely leaning towards the plant-based way, but I really never tried to exclude anyone who was a meat eater. And now vice versa, like now that I am on the other side, although my beliefs and values have significantly changed. So when people do come to me and say, I want to become a vegan, this is the healthiest way to eat, I'm going to give my knowledge to where I'm at right now and maybe suggest otherwise, or maybe have them like look a little bit deeper, but I'm never going to, you know, shun someone away for their choices.
Well, and that kind of leads me to my next question too then. So, I mean, right now, there is so many kind of nutrition trends, different types of eating, like being thrown at us. And I'd like to know what you kind of feel about that. So, you know, we're seeing a lot of the keto diet. So the ketogenic diet, we're seeing everything now is gluten-free. We're also seeing, you know, paleo is still coming out, but you know, everyone seems to be taking a lot of these things to extremes. They take the original concept and then obviously like see how far they can kind of push it. But, you know, what do you kind of feel about that? And how do you think, I don't know, how do you feel that that's kind of affecting people in terms of making their own choices?
Yeah. And it comes down to any of the diet trends, you know, whether it was Atkins or Southbridge or all that, it's like you hear it, you see someone who's gotten awesome results from it, whatever it might be, whether it's vanity or health or gut health or whatever it is. And people want that. So they'll jump on it without really assessing what's going on for them. So I really encourage people, and don't get me wrong, I've done my little test with a lot of them, and especially over the last couple of years with, you know, keto and gluten-free, I went from for sure eating like a good balanced ancient grain diet to gluten-free, which I didn't think I could give up spelt, but I did gluten-free, and now I'm grain-free. So it's a transition because of the knowledge again that I gained and the way that I felt. And I started to test and read different books. You get attracted to certain people. I feel like certain books and people and blogs and podcasts pop into your realm at just the right time. So it's hard not to get like blindsided by it and get overwhelmed and, you know, make decisions based on aesthetics, which a lot of people do, or just based on what they hear. So I encourage people to start slowly and really maybe pick between or bring the balance between biologically what's going on with you and how you're feeling. You know, how you're feeling day to day and where can you find that happy medium? And yeah, it might mean you try on a couple of different things just to see, but at the end of the day, don't do it for the wrong reasons. Try and do your research, try and read up on things and understand why you're doing it. Why are you eating gluten-free? Just because it has gluten-free on it doesn't mean it's healthy. We need to keep emphasizing that because I still see people getting caught up with the label. And honestly, when it comes to gluten-free, just choose the foods that are naturally gluten-free. And that's the way to approach it. Cause that's, you know, the biggest one right now is the gluten-free approach.
Well, that's one thing I always talk about too with my clients and stuff is, you know, the foods that don't have the labels are the ones that you really want to be eating instead of worrying about reading all the labels. Exactly. Because it just is, you know, we're so inundated with these marketing messages. It's really like, it's really, really challenging. And I mean, we both work in this field and we have education in this field, and I still find it really overwhelming. So I can't imagine what it must be like, you know, if you're a mom with three kids and you're like trying to make better choices and you're being told, go keto, you know, do the gluten-free. Oh, you shouldn't be doing dairy. You should be doing dairy. Like, it's a lot to take in.
Totally. And you have to try it on. Like, there is no right or wrong way about it. Like, you may have to, if keto interests you for a period of time, give it a go and then see how it goes and how you feel. And then as I started doing more reading on keto, I realized, you know what, it's not so good for females, you know, and our hormones, and we need certain carbohydrates throughout the day. And then I realized, oh my gosh, I do need carbohydrates. This is crazy. So you just got to test and retest, and yeah, it can be exhausting, and try not to get too frustrated. And trust me, as I said before, I'm in the middle of my journey right now, so I'm still figuring things out. I don't have all the answers. All I know is I'm pointed in a direction that is upward and it's feeling good. But you know, you've got to just kind of test and see what's going on.
So for someone who is just starting out on making a healthy transition, what would you give them as your one piece of nutrition advice to kind of start out? Like, would it be something along the lines of, you know, just getting more vegetables in your day, just, you know, eating less packaged? What would be kind of your one starting point for someone who has absolutely no idea even what we're talking about with keto or vegan or anything like that? What would be one thing you think they could do?
By one, you mean five, right?
we'll start with one and we could go to five. I love five. Okay.
Well, definitely starting with removing the packaged and processed foods is key. You know, yeah. You can only make better decisions and start the baseline from eating healthy whole foods. And when you're going to the whole foods, greens is the first place to go. If you are not eating enough greens, get more in. Anyone can eat them, whether you're vegan or paleo or keto or whatever you are. Greens are the baseline and foundation of health. The dark leafy greens. So I encourage people to start there. And if you already are eating a lot, I would say add more. There's no limitation to how many greens you can have in a day. So that is, you know, my first two. And then I'd say start playing around with different ratios depending on what your diet is based on. So maybe you want to start to look at eating more healthy fats, which I'm a true believer in. So good quality fats, good quality proteins, whether they're vegetarian sourced or animal protein, and then playing with the carbohydrates and seeing which ones fit and fuel your body in the best possible way. And then fermented foods. I can talk about this forever, as you can see. So fermented foods would be the next layer on the puzzle, especially if you want to heal your gut. So getting in some good quality ferments.
So what would be a few fermented foods you'd recommend?
I'd say easiest place to start is sauerkraut, whether store-bought or homemade. Of course, homemade is what I recommend. It's very easy. Two ingredients, salt and cabbage. But if you need to buy a store-bought version, just make sure it's raw and unpasteurized and coming in a glass jar. There's a lot of plastic ones I'm seeing around lately. So, yeah. And try and just, you know, make sure you're getting it from a good source. If you have access to a farmer's market nearby, that's usually where a good quality sauerkraut will be, because then it's not sitting on the shelf for so long. And water kefir, as we talked about earlier. So getting in a good quality water kefir, making it at home would be ideal as well. Like it's super easy. If you can get your hands on some little water kefir grains, little babies, they're not actually grains, they're just called grains. And making that batches of that at home is amazing, because all you need is a couple of shots of it, a couple of ounces a day, just to help heal your gut.
Well, I always said too, after you gave me the water kefir, because I started to share once, because they multiply, right? Yes. So I started to share with my family and friends. And I remember saying to you when you gave it to me, I'm like, oh my God, you're like a sperm donor. Like, you have babies everywhere now. And now I feel like that. I'm like, you know, it's just so reaching true. Around the world, these constant babies reproducing.
Yes.
But yeah, I completely agree with everything you said. And that's actually the approach that I take as well, is always starting focusing on the quality, then looking on the quality, looking at the quality, then looking at the quantity of your macros balance, and then moving into obviously getting in the greens, but then adding on extras like the probiotics and focusing on maybe more on blood sugar balancing or different things of whatever's going on in your life. But if you just start with the quality and then you look at the quantity, you could start to really see what works for your body.
100%.
I love it. I love how we're giving a lot of good info for anyone who's listening, because I know I know all this stuff. Even when I talk to you again, it just re-inspires me. And now I'm going to go make some sauerkraut after we get off of this, because you also ignited my sauerkraut making. I had a fear. I actually had a fear before I did your class because I had rotten sauerkraut before. And that kind of, it's like when you make your very first smoothie and you don't have a good blender and it's like funky chunky and you're like, how do people drink this crap?
Well, fermented foods are intimidating. You know, even sprouting is. Like, until you do it or until you experience it, you realize just how easy it is and that you're getting this super high quality nutrition at home when people are charging so much for it. So once you kind of make that connection and you can start doing it in your house, it's like, there's no going back.
Well, yeah. And it feels so cool because you're like, I just made this. Like, yes. I created this. So that kind of, that flows into then to my next question. So then what would be your top three tips to make nutrition less overwhelming? Because I know even for me, I was so nervous to ferment because I was so afraid of rotting. Oh, I hear a puppy. Hello.
Yes. the super dog.
I know. I always see pictures of Goji online and I want to steal her. She's so cute.
Very cute. So I'd recommend to people to definitely start slowly with whatever they're doing and don't put so much pressure on themselves that they need to make transitions or changes overnight. So I think a lot of people, we all do, you know, myself included, you know, if something's going wrong, you want it fixed tomorrow. You want to feel better tomorrow. But you have to really approach things with caution and just embrace that there is going to be a transition time. So just to take that pressure off is a really good starting point for people. And I really encourage people, again, to really do their own research and really dig deep. And I get that that's kind of a double-edged sword just because it can get overwhelming. It's like, well, there's so many books and there's so many blogs and there's so many opinions. Which way do I go? You'll know. You'll know which ones resonate with you at the right time. And we go through stages, you know, as human beings. Obviously, you know, we just shared our story or my story about going from being vegetarian and now changing my diet. And who knows, maybe I'll go back to vegetarianism again. I don't know. But we know that our body does go through different phases and stages in life, and we need to honor that and embrace that. So if you are wanting or desiring to maybe eat or go a certain way, but your body's resisting you, then try and honor that and really pay attention to it, because at the end of the day, we do just want to feel good. We want, you know, our bowels functioning. We want to be able to sleep well. We want to have our skin and eyes looking vibrant. We want our hair to stay, you know, intact and not be falling out. We want our skin to be lustrous. Like, all these things that we do want. And not to mention, we want to prevent all these horrible diseases and illnesses that are plaguing us. So when you can start to really take health on and be mindful and approachable with it, I think you will succeed.
I love that. Very well said. Very well said. So for somebody then who, I know you were just talking about the overwhelm, for someone who's looking for some resources, even some that you offer to help them on this journey, do you have any links that you recommend, any books, websites?
Well, of course, the Ultimate Health Podcast is the first recommendation.
No, totally. And honestly, everyone should listen to it because they're like, I sometimes will go on there when I'm feeling in a certain kind of focus and download different episodes because you have such a wide variety, like you were saying, of, you know, from fitness to nutrition to meditation, depending on what I'm kind of feeling in that moment, I'm like literally download. And I listen to them while I work out.
Well, that's just it. It's not just about like listening to every show. It's there's so many shows that are so focused that if you do scroll through, you might recognize a name, but the titles, we try and be really detailed with our titles that you might pick up on something that really is what you're looking for, inflammation or meditation or gratitude, all these different things that people might be looking for. So for sure, that's a resource. Other than that, depending on, you know, there's so many blogs. Oh my gosh. Like there's so many wonderful blogs, depending whether you're looking for recipes or if you're just looking for content and information about, you know, inspiration. Oh, I may have to send you some links afterwards to put in your show notes, but you know, of course our Joy McCarthy, a good friend of mine, she's got an awesome blog and resource. She's putting out recipes all the time. Her blog is awesome. For more recipes, Oh She Glows is great too. And in terms of, you know, making transition, there's a girl called Jordan Younger who's actually going to come on our podcast. She also had a similar story to mine where she, I think it's the Balanced Blonde.
Yes, that was the one I was talking about when I talked about the vegan backlash.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there you go. So she's going to be coming on the podcast. I'm really excited to talk to her about her journey. But yeah, she had a similar story too. So if that's kind of where you're at, you may want to check out her blog. I've got my blog too. I'm pretty active with it. It's, you know, not a blog post every single week. There's a lot of stuff on there and I've shared my journey and there's recipes on there. And Instagram, like I love being on Instagram. I'm always sharing recipes and content there, but there's so many wonderful resources on Instagram too. You might have to look by hashtag, you know, if there's something you're kind of interested in, that might be a way to loop you to the right person to follow.
Oh yeah. I actually love that idea. You know, looking for hashtag green smoothie or hashtag plant-based proteins, and starting to see what kind of really resonates with you. Cause I believe totally in your approach as well, is that once you'll know if something feels right to you, you know, if you're drawn to someone, you're drawn to their style and their approach, it'll definitely, you'll feel it.
Right.
So I know that recently you just made a big change in your life and you left the big city of Toronto and you moved up north.
West, I guess.
West, yes. Okay, this is one thing I will be totally honest. I am completely geographically challenged.
Fair enough.
but yeah, I know, just not getting too deep into your personal life, but I'd love to know a little bit about how that transition's been for you.
Yeah, so it's been a huge year of transition, you know, not only with my diet and my health, but, you know, with my career and now my home life. So I did let go of the food studio, you know, March of this year or kind of December, January. So my cooking class business, I kind of put to the side and transferred online. And with Jesse and I both being online, we figured we could live anywhere. And we were starting to shy away of the big city. Toronto, as much as I'm a city girl, born and raised, I love the city. It's an amazing city. And, you know, I will be there all the time and I probably will move back within a couple of years. But right now where we're at and what we were wanting was space and quiet. So we moved outside the city to Windsor, and not totally random because Jesse's family's from here and we do have friends in a community here. So we made that decision very distinctly because, you know, there's so many places to live in Ontario and there's so many places that we were considering, but we didn't just want to be nowhere where there was no chance of, you know, community or social support or all those good things that we require. So Windsor, we came to, and also you can get so much bang for your buck.
Yeah.
So we have an awesome 3-bedroom home with a backyard. Oh. And we have a dog that you're hearing in the background a little bit. So she's just happy in her backyard right now. But that was all part of our decision, you know, depending on what you have in your life and having a dog, just like having a child, which I plan to down the road as well. But having a dog right now, she is, you know, part of our decision making, and to see her happy and being able to open one door to let her outside is life-changing, from four doors, from a, you know, being on the fourth floor of an apartment to let her outside. So those things, just to make your life simpler and quieter and to build in all these things that you want for yourself, that I feel like, even though I was doing so much over the last couple of years, you know, putting out so much content and teaching my classes, I was giving in every capacity, even including where I was living. I was living somewhere not as awesome because all my resources went into my beautiful food studio, which Laura, you got to experience. So
it was very pretty. It was very, very pretty.
So everything but me and my life got attention. So now I'm trying to take it all back. And this is the start of kind of a new beginning for us. And it's honestly, it's been about a month just about, and it's been night and day how I've been feeling.
And that's something I think for so many women out there, including myself, it's really hard to kind of be a little bit selfish and take back that power to say, like, you know what, I need to invest in me for a bit. You know, we're givers but we can give so much all the time, and then, but we're not comfortable with receiving. And it's strange, but what in that quiet time is where you kind of create your best work too. And that's why I'm really excited to see, after you've had a bit of time there, the stuff that you're going to come out with. Cause I know you're going into more of the online space. I know you've got online cooking courses right now on your website, which we're going to put links in the show notes if anyone wants to check out Marnie's website, which you should, as well as to the Ultimate Health Podcast. But I'm really excited to see what else you're going to be creating after this, after a time to recharge. Okay, so we're going to wrap this up, even though I could talk to you all day. But I just would love for you to share with our listeners just one piece of life advice. And it could be anything from nutrition to wellness, fitness, but just one thing that could help someone listening live a fiercer, happier, healthier, just everyday life.
I think carve out more time in the day. Sorry. I think carve out more time in the day for you, because that is what is going to build you up and nourish you on every level. So now, having made this change and transition, I now have this awesome, epic morning routine that fills me up in so many ways. So if you are not taking enough time for you and doing the things that nourish you, you need to start, whether it's 5 minutes, 10 minutes, or 2.5 hours, which is what I have in the morning now. You need it. You need that. So, and that brings in everything we've talked about today, like starting slowly, doing your own research, and, you know, just making the connections that make sense to you. So there's a lot there, but I think it starts with taking time for you and maybe really assessing how you're feeling, how your body's feeling, and what do you need to get through your days in a better way.
Very well said. I think that's awesome. So with that, we're going to wrap this up. And I want to thank you so much for being on today. I love talking to you. I love everything you're doing. I'm obsessed with your podcast. I'm also obsessed with your dog. So anyone, you got to go see pictures of Goji too. and I just really want to thank you and just give some gratitude to you for all the stuff that you do put out in the world, because you've helped a lot of people, and you and Jesse continue to help a lot of people. And I think your work is just from a really heart-centered place, and I love being able to get to experience it. So thank you for coming on and sharing it with our little world of Fit Chicks.
Well, thank you for having me. It was my pleasure.
Okay. And for anyone, this, make sure to check out the show notes as well. We will have links to the Ultimate Health Podcast. We'll also have links to Marnie's website, which is marniewasserman.com. And I hope all of you have a beautiful day. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Fit Chicks Chat Podcast. Want more healthy love? Visit www.fitchicks.com for amazing resources, free workouts, recipes, tips, and so much more to help you live your healthiest and fiercest life, inside and out.